This message is brought to you by 12 Stone Church. Dr. Dan Ryland delivers the teaching entitled Truthfulness versus Deception, the third in the series Trending. Should you need additional information, please go to 12stone.com. There you will find many resources, including this teaching, in both audio and video formats in the media section. There's also an extensive archive of past teachings. We hope this serves you well. Please enjoy.
Good morning. Welcome to 12 Stone. Well, thank you. Yeah, you're in a good mood. Wow. My name is Dan Ryland. I hope that doesn't dampen the crowd at all. I serve as executive pastor. I'm very thrilled to be having the privilege to get to bring the Word of God to you today. Let me ask you, any baseball fans in the crowd? Whoa! How about Atlanta Braves, yeah? Give me a tomahawk. Oh, all right. My father-in-law and I love baseball. He loves sports. We love to go over to the Gwinnett Braves and hang out there and kind of watch the AAA. But my whole family, this last weekend, 4th of July, we got to go see the big Braves. We got to see the Braves play the Arizona Diamondbacks on the 4th of July. We went down there. Yeah, I got some pics I took. We went down there with 50,000 of our closest friends. Yeah, great fireworks. We won. The Braves won. 4th of July. That was awesome. The thing that sort of blew my mind, being a California kid, SoCal, San Diego, I wasn't used to this. I was upstairs looking for some food. And I went around the corner and I saw Waffle House. And I mean, not a little stand. I mean, the whole full-on anything you want, Waffle House. And I thought, there's no waffles in baseball. And, you know, I just thinking, this doesn't work. So I thought, but I love Atlanta. I'm happy to be in Atlanta. So I had a waffle. I think that's why they won. I'm not sure. Then I hear that our mighty Braves are moving to Cobb County. And the estimated price tag of the new stadium is $672 million. And the controversy along with that of who's going to pay for it. Yeah, a lot of controversy in sports today, more with the players, especially with the players. And sometimes it's hard to know when the truth is being told. Who remembers Lance Armstrong? Anybody? Who remembers Lance Armstrong? Yeah, almost everybody. World-class athlete, cancer survivor, a family man, celebrated seven-time Tour de France champion. Was lying to us the whole time. Do you remember when Lance came clean and he told America the truth on Oprah? Watch this.
Here we are in Austin, Texas. A few days ago, you texted to the Associated Press and said, I told her to go wherever she wants, her meaning me, and I'll answer the questions directly, honestly, and candidly. That's all I can say. Those are your words.
Those are my words.
When we first met a week ago today, we agreed that there would be no holds barred and there would be no conditions on this interview and that this would be an open field.
I think that's best for both of us.
I agree. So here we go, open field. So let's start with the questions that people around the world have been waiting for you to answer. And for now, I'd just like a yes or no.
Okay.
Okay? This whole conversation, we have a lot of time, will be about the details. Yes or no? Did you ever take banned substances to enhance your cycling performance?
Yes.
Yes or no? Was one of those banned substances EPO?
Yes.
Did you ever blood dope or use blood transfusions to enhance your cycling performance?
Yes.
Did you ever use any other banned substances like testosterone, cortisone, or human growth hormone?
Yes.
Yes or no? In all seven of your Tour de France victories, did you ever take banned substances or blood dope?
Yes.
In your opinion, was it humanly possible to win the Tour de France without doping seven times in a row?
Not in my opinion.
So when did you first start doping?
We're done with the yes and no's.
We're done with the yes and no's.
You know, I suppose earlier in my career, there was cortisone and then the EPO generation began.
Began when?
For me or for?
For you.
Mid-90s.
Mid-90s.
So for a very long time, we didn't know the truth. But there was one person who knew the truth the whole time. Who was that one person? Lance. Lance knew. As a matter of fact, later on in the interview, this was a long, detailed interview with Oprah after the yeses and the noes, telling the truth. This is a direct quote I took from there. He said, I view this situation as one big lie that I repeated a lot of times. He said, I know the truth. The truth isn't what was out there. The truth isn't what I said. I loved what he said in the little clip that you saw to Oprah when he said, I think it's best for both of us. When she was asking about honesty and get it all out and get it all said, he said, I think it's best for both of us. See, he saw it then. He figured it out. The truth is always best. The truth is always best. Truth or deception is always personal. We try to make it about a situation. That's how we rationalize and push it to the side. We try to make deception about a situation, but it's always personal. That's where it starts. I was 16 years old when I lied to my mom one time. Stupid, I know. Was an idiot. I was 16, I just got my driver's license, and I was out driving my mom's Ford Maverick. Oh, I know. You remember some of you are old enough, you remember the pony cars, the Pinto, the Maverick, and the Mustang. The Pinto was the piece of crud in the middle. That's the one we had. So I'm out in the Maverick, and I got my big buddy, big old guy with red hair, we called him Chucky, and we were driving. I was driving way too, just being a stupid 16-year-old, driving way too fast, lost control at a cliff. And we would have gone over, I probably would have died. Slammed into this like 2x4 white mile marker, and the car just boom, stopped. And I rolled down the windows, in those days it was like this, and looked out and saw down and thought, oh my gosh, this would have been it. Drove the car safe, slow home, pulled in the driveway, and it was weird. My mom walked out of the door. And I thought, and she said, what happened? And I said, what do you mean? And she said, I got out of the car. She said, look at the door. There's a dent in the door. What happened? And I looked right at her and said, I don't know. I don't know. She said, I'm an idiot, you know? And she said, there's a dent in the door. What happened? We went to the grocery store and it wasn't there. And I came out from the grocery store and I don't know. And she looks over at Chucky and she says, Chuck, do you know what happened? He goes, I didn't see anything. And he lived down the street, you know, and he said, I think my mom's calling, I gotta go. And he just left, you know. I mean, what an idiot. I mean, it was just a little dent in the car and I lived, I was alive. Why did I lie? Why do people lie? It's in us. connected to the fall of man recorded in Genesis chapter 3, verse 4, when the serpent said to Eve, "You shall certainly not die." After God had already said, "If you eat of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, you will die." And the serpent, Satan, says, "No, you won't." And we bit. First lie in the Bible recorded ever. We bit. We've been covering and hiding ever since. See, nobody teaches, it's in us, nobody teaches a two-year-old to lie. There's no mommy or daddy in the world that says, "Okay, Susie, today, Susie, little two-year-old, we're going to teach you how to lie. And when you grow up to be big and strong, you're going to be so good at it." Nobody does that. My son, he's 23 now, he's graduated from college, he's a software developer, John Peter, he's awesome. And I remember when he was 3 years old, he loved Oreo cookies. And we had, remember the movie Beauty and the Beast? We had the Mrs. Potts teapot. It was actually a cookie jar for us full of Oreo cookies. And the rule was, John Peter, you can't take a cookie by yourself. Mommy or daddy has to give you a cookie. And I walked into the kitchen one afternoon, and I saw John Peter there. He had the lid of the cookie jar in one hand, and he had an Oreo cookie in the other. And I said, "John Peter, did you take a cookie?" And he looks at me, looks at the cookie, puts it behind his back, and said, "No." It's in us, it's who we are. I mean, you know, it's in us. But then the question still begs to be asked, but why do we actually do it? Just because it's in us doesn't mean we have to do it. So why? I mean, why? So I wrote down, I was thinking and working and praying, and I wrote down a whole bunch of reasons, and then I came to the top five. And I thought, well, this is a trending series. Let me just, not just what I think. I put it on Facebook and let the world say, tell me, why do people lie? The top five that came back from this huge sort of quick survey, grassroots, exactly the same as mine. You want to know what they are? All right. Top reasons. I'll bet you can guess the first one. What do you think the number one reason people lie is? Fear. You got it. Several of you right there. Number one reason. Fear. That's it. In other words, fear the consequences of, you know, want to avoid punishment. The second one that came up on the list was shame. Wonder how many you can guess. Embarrassed by what you did, what somebody did. The third that came on the list was selfishness. In other words, you want what you want. And four, insecurity. You don't want anybody to know the truth about you. And five, who can guess the fifth one? Starts with a P, pride. That was the number five, agreed with my list, trending. This one's a scary one. It means you people can actually believe that they're more important than the truth, pride. I think, remember the Lance clip? You can see it there. So which one of these five is your temptation? Oh, I look at me like, "Oh, I never lie." Oh, yeah. Okay, well, here's what I want you to do. Turn to your neighbor, come on, and say, "I've never lied." Go ahead, turn to your neighbor. "I've never lied. I've never lied." Okay, now you're all a bunch of liars with us together. We're all in this together. Great, yeah. Now you go home. "Mom, I went that the preacher made me lie in church." Yeah, this is a weird church. They made us all lie. Okay, listen. It's good to know. When I look at this list, which one triggers? Which one, you know, when I was 16 years old with my mom, it was fear. It was fear. I was going to get in trouble. There's a story in the Bible. It's an intriguing story of a family caught, and it could be a TV series today. It was an intriguing story of a family caught in deception and lies who desperately needed the truth. Let's look at the story together. Grab your Bibles, and if you turn to page 24 in the book of Genesis, turn to page 24. You can read with me as we go through this. We're going to be in the 25th chapter of the book of Genesis, Genesis 25, page 24. And we'll jump in at verse 19. chapter 25, page 24. Jump in with me where it says, Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah. Jump to verse 21. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. The Lord answered his prayer. Jump to 24, verse 24. When the time came for her to give birth, there were two boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, like you see the family, the boys grew up, and Esau became a skilled hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau. But Rebekah loved who? Jacob. Now, I know you got the story, but I want you to see it because we need to stay connected to what's happening in this story. So, here's the family. We've got mom, right? And who's mom? Rebekah. And she loves who? Jacob, all right? Now we got dad. And dad is who? Isaac. And he loves bacon. He loves who? Esau. I think he actually does love bacon. So now we got the twins. We've got Jacob and Esau. Jacob was a quiet man. And Esau, hunter. What could go wrong with that? Just your regular basic family in Lawrenceville. What could go wrong here? Let me tell you, you can turn to page 26. You can look at the scripture there in chapter 27, starting in verse 1. But I want to tell you that big, long passage basically in a sentence. Mom and Jacob conspire this elaborate scheme to lie to dad, to steal the birthright, the blessing, the inheritance, to steal it from Jacob and give it. No. See, that's the problem with lying. You can't ever keep it straight. Remember that. Mom and Jacob conspired this amazing scheme to lie to dad, to steal the birthright, the blessing, the inheritance from Esau and give it to Jacob. Oh my. For you to connect with this, I want you to think about it maybe like this. Someone in your family passes away. There's an inheritance. It's big. It's amazing. It's powerful. It's the whole deal. And you're supposed to get your part. And there's lawyers involved and things are going on. And it gets taken from you. What was rightfully yours gets taken from you. The family business, success, the money, the lake house, whatever it is. You know, the Harley. I wanted the Harley. And they took the Harley from me. The boat, it's all gone. That's what's taking place in this story. And when Esau came back from the field, he found out and he was furious. Still in chapter 20, he was furious. And when dad figured out, dad is old, he couldn't see, he just wanted his bacon, whatever. When he figured out what had happened, he was angry and hurt. That's what the Bible said. Mom, Becky is nowhere to be found right now. She's gone. You can't find her anywhere in the story at this point. Jacob now has deceived his brother Esau now twice, taken the birthright and the blessing. Now what happens to our happy little Lawrenceville family? Turn to page 28 if you're staying in the story with me. Let's look at the results. What happens in this story? Verse 41, still chapter 27, page 28. Esau held a grudge. Ooh, that messes up a family, doesn't it? That's always what comes from lies and deceptions or the absence of truth. Esau held a grudge against his brother because of the blessing that was stolen. Anyway, what the scripture says right here is he's planning to kill him. Esau, the hunter, he's going to kill him. Verse 42, when Rebekah was told what her older son Esau had said, she sent for her younger son Jacob and said to him, "Your brother Esau is planning to avenge himself by killing you. Now then, my son, do what I say." Really, Becky? You're still in this thing? She sends him away, trying to hide it, cover him up. You say, "You stay away till he cools off. I'll let you know when he cools off so he won't kill you, and you can come back so you're not both dead." And it's just this web of deceit and stuff and mess is in this. It's just messed up. What a story. Much to learn. Let's talk about just three things. Three truths about truth and deception. There's a lot, but we'll just do three. Number one, if you lie, you scar your soul. When you tell the truth, you can write this down. It's the blanks in your outline. If you lie, you scar your soul. When you tell the truth, you strengthen your soul. Jesus said in John, the book of John, 8th chapter, verse 44, he, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there was no truth in him. When he lies, catch this, he speaks his native language. For he is a liar and the father of lies. You see, when we lie, we fall into the devil's trap. That leads to self-destruction and to the destruction and the hurt of others. That's exactly what's happening in our story with Isaac and Becky and Jacob and Esau and the whole gang in that family. It's exactly what's going on. Spinning around to get what they want and make their life kind of the way they want it to look. But Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you what? Free. This freedom strengthens your soul. The scarring is the captivity to the lies and the deception, even if they're little, even if you always a little white lie. No, that's where it starts. The freedom that this gives to set you free to live is the one that strengthens your soul. The Ten Commandments are powerful truth, obviously. The first four of the Ten Commandments are about you and God. The first four are about you and God. The next six are about you and others. In that set of six that are about you and others, thou shalt not bear false witness. Number nine, thou shalt not lie, is ninth in the list. And I was thinking about that and thinking, what about this notion of lying is so huge, so significant that God would include it in this list of 10 things. Simply put, when you lie, you hurt people. That's it. When you lie, you hurt people. That's actually point number two. Go ahead and jot it down. If you lie, you hurt people. When you tell the truth, you help people. It's that simple. Jim Carrey is in a silly movie named Liar Liar. He plays an attorney, and he just lies all the time. And his little five-year-old boys had a birthday party, and at the birthday party, he made a wish when they blew the candle out of the cake, and the little boy, five-year-old boy, made a wish that his lying daddy lawyer couldn't lie anymore, couldn't lie. Well, that messed up his practice. He just couldn't function. So he tries to get his little five-year-old to take the wish back so he could lie. Watch this.
Your mommy told me about that wish you made last night. It came true, Max.
Really? You mean you have to tell the truth?
Yes.
No matter what?
No matter what?
Is wrestling real?
In the Olympics, yes. On Channel 23, no.
Will sitting too close to the TV set make me go blind?
Not in a million years.
If I keep making this face, will it get stuck that way?
Uh-uh. Now listen, Max. You gotta do something for me. I need you to take back that wish.
So you can lie?
Yes. But not to you. You see, Max, sometimes grown-ups need to lie. It's hard to explain, but if... Look, here's a good example. When your mommy was pregnant with you, she gained a good 40 pounds. There was nothing she wouldn't eat, and Daddy was scared. But when she'd ask me how do I look, I'd say, honey, you look great. You're beautiful. You're glowing. If I'd have told mommy she looked like a cow, it would have hurt her feelings. Understand?
My teacher tells me real beauty's on the inside.
That's just something ugly people say. Okay, now do whatever you did last night, only this time, make it an unwish.
I did it.
Excellent! Yeah, I just need a little test.
Work?
Not like I'd hoped. Did you unwish it?
Only...
What? Only what?
Yesterday when I wished it, I really meant it. This time when I unwished it, I only did it because you told me to.
I explained this. I have to lie. Everybody lies. Mommy lies. Even the wonderful Jerry lies.
But you're the only one that makes me feel bad.
So, it does hurt. And the little boys grow up to be Jacobs and Esau's and big people. And what are we teaching? What's in us? See, when you lie, you are deliberately choosing to create a false reality, luring others in to believe it with you. You want them to be part of a world that suits what you want when we do that. And we're tempted, listen, we're always tempted to believe that the deception, we're tempted to believe that the deception creates a better life, and it never does. We're tempted to hold back or say something or twist it or pull to think it's going to be better, I won't get in trouble from mom or something, it's never better. The enemy wants you to think it will be, but it's not. Before we lie to others... Before we lie to others, we lie to ourselves. We convince ourselves that the false reality is better than truth. See, there's a pattern. There's a progression here. It's important that you know it because that teaches us how to back it up and shut it down. First, we believe a lie. Second, we speak a lie. Third, we live a lie. When you learn that progression, when you figure out that progression, you can go back and shut it down in the earlier stage. See, first you have to think it. First you believe a lie. Then you speak it. Then you actually begin to live it. I was coaching a young man, came in to see me, great guy, married, successful, Christian, wonderful guy, business guy. And he said, I started lying to my wife. It's right here. And I said, what do you mean? He says, I don't know why. I don't even get it. There's these little dumb lies started there. And I said, well, what do you mean? Like what? He said, she would tell me I was supposed to write the bills out and mail them. I said, yeah. And she would ask me, did you write the bills out and mail them? And he said, I told her I did, but I didn't. So why'd you tell her you did? And he looked at me, he goes, it's just easier. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, if I was supposed to write the bills, I didn't write the bills, and if she asked her, I said, no, and she said, now I got to say, now I'm going to hear the whole thing. Why didn't you? I need to count on you. You said you would. Now the bills are late, and why didn't you do this? And I didn't want to do all that, and it was just easier. But then he said, a problem because I started doing more and they get a little bit bigger and it just didn't seem to matter and I travel internationally, as you know. I said, yeah. And I was in Asia almost crossed all the way over the line, got way too close. But something prompted me inside, and I came home and I told her everything. Told her the truth. Almost cost it all. Because now her whole thing was, now her whole thing is like, I don't know what to believe you and what not to. I don't know. Are you lying? Are you telling the truth? I don't even know. But they made a commitment. They made this covenant with each, they figured this out by themselves. They made this covenant to tell the truth. And they daily check in. They daily would talk. And they agreed to not be offended while trust was being rebuilt. Let me see your phone. Let me see your this. Let me see. They agreed to not be offended while the trust covenant was being rebuilt. It's more real than we think. We all want the truth. We really do all want the truth. It's not just Doug's wife, not just Doug. We all want the truth in love because it helps us. In one of my very favorite movies, Colonel Nathan R. Jessup gives us his opinion on the truth. Hey, I can't do this talk and not play that clip. Come on, take a look.
If Lieutenant Kendrick gave an order that Santiago wasn't to be touched, then why did he have to be transferred? Colonel, Lieutenant Kendrick ordered the code red, didn't he? Because that's what you told Lieutenant Kendrick to do.
Object!
And when it went bad, you cut case. These guys loose!
Your Honor,
you had Marcus inside a bony transport!
Your Honor,
you doctored the logbook!
Damn, Captain!
You coerced the doctor!
Consider yourself in contempt!
Colonel Jessup, did you order the code red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled to.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Hoo-ha! You can't handle the truth. The thing is, that's a lie. Yes, I can. I can handle the truth, and so can you. When I go to a restaurant and I ask the waiter to tell me if the special is any good, I want the truth, and I can handle the truth. I was at a restaurant here, and I won't name Bonefish, and I asked the waiter, I said, is the salmon special any good? And he did this so funny. He goes, It was awesome. Thank you. I can handle the truth. I want the truth. When I go to a used car lot to buy a used car, I want the salesman to tell me the truth. When I go vote for somebody in the government, I want the politician to tell me the truth. I can handle the truth. I think you can too. See, here's the thing. You want your kids to tell the truth. You want your boss to tell the truth. You really want your spouse to tell the truth. People want you to tell the truth. We need to tell the truth. Change how you live. Freeze you up. The problem with lying is you have to remember. Let's go to point three. If you lie, you lose God's covering. When you tell the truth, you gain God's character. Oh my. You lose God's covering. When you tell the truth, you gain God's character. Now, I've got to quickly tell you here that when I say you lose God's covering, I'm not talking about God's love. I'm not talking about God's salvation. That is set. That is secure. Jesus paid the price on the cross. His blood has covered you from sin. I'm not talking about that at all. What I'm talking about is God, if you lie, when you lie, God can't protect you from the consequences. That's what I want you to hear. God has always trended the truth. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's the gospel. God loves you. Jesus died for you. His blood covered your sins. He died, but he rose again. And for those who believe by faith that that is truth, you will have eternal life with him. That is the truth. That's the truth. Truth is trending in heaven, and that's what God wants for us here and now. Oh, I have some dear friends. My friends' names are Tim and Linda Buttry. They pastored Crossroads Church in Temecula, California, SoCal, near where I live, near San Diego, just up a little ways, a little east, a little north. They pastored Crossroads Church in Temecula, and they had an incredible ministry. I mean, sharp, sharp leaders, sharp, sharp people. Patty and I love them to death. They're just, they're buddies. We love them. About 14 years ago, they nearly lost their marriage. Their story, and I called Tim yesterday morning, said, hey, can I tell your story? He said, yeah, you can tell it. We had a great talk, good catching up. Their story's not unlike many stories that I've heard over the years. Their story didn't start with outright deception, but it started with the lack of honesty. I want you to get the nuance there. It didn't start, the breakdown, the mess didn't start with outright deception. It began with the lack of honesty. That resulted in Tim not knowing how Linda felt. That resulted in Linda beginning to believe a lie, the lie that Tim didn't love her, which resulted in Linda having an affair. Oh, lost the church. Oh my gosh. Long story, but there was a turning point. Linda came home one day. She had moved out. Linda came home, pulled in the driveway, and she came home to tell the truth about the affair and to tell her teenage son she was leaving. She turned the key off in the car and sat there, and God spoke to her. She was trying to compose herself before she went in. And God spoke to her, and he said, Linda, I want you to go in the house, but I want you to stay. I don't want you to leave. Stay. And she said, just reminded me of the story. She said, I was so angry, I pounded on the steering wheel and said, I don't want to go in, I don't want to stay, I can't do this anymore, I don't want this. But in that moment, she embraced just enough of the truth of God's love, the truth of God himself, that she went in, she told the truth, and she stayed. They just reminded me yesterday when we were talking about the story, they said the next 7 or 8 weeks were hell on earth. They never knew it was deception or true. It was rough. But they stuck it out, they stayed in, they persevered. And it's so cool to be able to tell you today what that brave, courageous embracement of truth gave them today. God gave them back a ministry. And they travel the country. They counsel married couples in churches. They counsel pastors. They're mostly church people even. And it's called True Relationships. You can check it out, see what they do, truerelationships.org, truerelationships.org. Powerful ministry. They travel and they speak and they coach in this area. They've taken their brokenness, they've taken their story, they tell the truth, and the truth of their story sets other people free because it gives other people permission to tell the truth. It gives other people permission to live the right way. So let's wrap up. On the bottom, ABC. Ready? Truth aligns your heart with the heart of God. See, that's what happened with Linda. The truth aligned her heart with the heart of God. Can you imagine if she sat there in her car and said, no. I mean, they got two beautiful grandkids. They have this wonderful ministry God gave them after it. Oh, my gosh. B, truth leads to grace and forgiveness. It leads to grace and forgiveness. And C, truth sets you free. John 8:32, free from sin, free from hiding, free from the cover-up, free from these things that we talked about over here, free from fear, shame, selfishness, insecurity, pride, fear from the hiding and the cover-up, free to live on higher ground, free to live in a better way, free to live the life I believe you actually want to live. have two questions for you as we wrap up. They're really pretty huge. They're printed in the bulletin. If you just, let's just have a pastoral moment, can we? We're just church, it's just us. God's here. Maybe even pretend like just old Pastor Dan sitting in the office and you're sitting with me, or maybe we're at Starbucks over a cup of coffee and I got two questions for you. The first one is, what lie do you need to clean up? Is there something you're thinking, you believe about yourself, something you're saying, something you're living? Is there something that God would love to set you free? Second, maybe that's not you. Second, what truth do you need to speak up? What truth? In other words, it's not outright deception like the story we told, but it's just, there's just a lack of honesty. What truth do you need to speak up? Either one, to live the life you actually believe you want and the life that God wants for you. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? I'm not gonna ask you to come forward. I'm not gonna ask you to sign anything. But you know what? I wanna pray for you. I wanna pray for us. And if there's a struggle here and you're feeling the prompt of God, maybe on the first one, on the lie to clean up, or the second one, the truth, if you just even stick your hand up right now, just stick your hand up right now, just a tiny little bit. I'm gonna look around and kind of watch you. Your head, everybody's head's bowed, okay? I'm seeing the hands. Just poke your hand up a little bit and I wanna pray for you. Good. Just poke your hand up. I wanna pray for you. Good, I see him. I'm seeing it, that's good. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for us. Father, would you grant the power of your Spirit for us to live in truth the way you have designed us to live, the way you want us to live? Give us, Father, the integrity and the strength to clean up anything we need to clean up. Maybe it's little, maybe it's big. Give us the strength to do that. Oh, God in heaven, and it may be the other side. It may be, Lord, we just need the truth to speak up. We need the courage to speak truth. There's somebody we need to go say something to, and we haven't done it, and we need to do it, and doing it will set things straight, it will move things forward, and it will probably help both people, because telling the truth helps people. Now, Father, you've taught us in the book of Ephesians that we need to speak the truth in love, so help us do that in love. But, oh, Father, I think of how the families will be strengthened, the individuals will be strengthened, the 12-stone church is strengthened as we become more and more and more a people of truth and courage and integrity, set free to live how you've called us to live. So, Father, we ask your blessing over these things, your power over this notion that you have given to us in your word, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name by faith, and all of God's people said, amen.